TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI. Trust-based relational intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You're listening to Season 8, Episode 2. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various communities of care and practice. I'm Emily Pickett, producer of the podcast, and I have the great fortune of introducing today's guest. Children need families, and families need community. As founder and executive director of Crossroads, Anna Palmer is dedicated to serving vulnerable children and families in Louisiana by recruiting a community of people, foster parents, caregivers, and professionals, and equipping them with tools to help children overcome trauma and grow up in a whole and thriving family. Crossroads comes alongside community stakeholders to elevate the level of care children and families in Louisiana receive by making TBRI accessible to individuals and organizations throughout the state. Crossroads supports and coaches school systems, juvenile detention centers, nonprofits, and state agencies in implementation of TBRI in their specific context, walking with organizations who are committed to making necessary changes to implement trauma-competent policy, practice, and decision-making. Y'all, that is a lot of words about the great work of Anna Palmer. She is a longtime friend of the Institute, a TBRI practitioner, a TBRI mentor, the head of a TBRI ambassador organization. We are so grateful for her and for her work. And we are so very glad that she is one to take every yes as a big ol' yes, as you will hear in this episode. Please
Anna,
enjoy this conversation with Sarah Mercado and Anna Palmer.
Thanks so much for having me.
Like we've been excited to have this conversation for a while. So can we just start with you sharing with our listeners, maybe like who you are, where you are, and how the heck did you come to find TBRI?
So I am the executive director of Crossroads, and we are a nonprofit that is in the New Orleans area, but we serve the state of Louisiana, especially when it comes to TBRI training and support. So we recruit foster families from local churches and provide ongoing support and training to those families as they do just the really incredible work of day in, day out caring for kids. And then we also provide ongoing training, consulting, coaching to organizations across our state who are implementing TBRI into their work. So my TBRI journey actually started on a personal level. So my husband and I have adopted both of our kids. And in the adoption process for our oldest son, we were required to read The Connected Child. And so that was our first, like many people, that was our first exposure to TBRI. And it was just really life-changing for us and started us on this journey of evaluating how we were parented and what it would mean for us to parent kids that would eventually become members of our family.
That's so fun to get to evaluate your parenting. I just, man, what a gift that we all got, right?
Like, yeah, you know, that introspection is just a really solid part of the journey.
Man, it is a journey, man. So I remember this was probably 2016. You came up to the Institute. We were chatting about, you had your little spreadsheet and you were wanting to do a collaborative, and we were all kind of sitting around talking about what that would look like. And if I remember at that moment, it was like Crossroads NOLA is going to be in New Orleans and we're going to try to impact how foster parents get TBRI. That's right, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And how did that go initially?
So initially, when we started the TBRI work, there was only one TBRI practitioner in the entire state of Louisiana, and it was someone who worked on staff with us part-time. So,
oh my gosh, for real?
Yeah, so the capacity to do anything with TBRI was very, very limited. So it was really a process where we said, okay, let's just... what's the low-hanging fruit? Where do we start? We just knew we needed to start. And so we started by training the foster parents that we recruited. So these were families who were serving kids in their home as foster parents with DCFS. And we really started to see those families experience what we would call big wins with the kids in their homes. So they were just starting to see kids heal and thrive. They were starting to see behaviors reduce. They were starting to see the joy and the fun and the laughter return to their homes. And probably most significantly, especially when you think about the big picture of child welfare, we started to see placement stability, that families were not saying, hey, we don't know what to do with this kid. We don't know how to help this kid. We're not the best place. They, because they were able to meet the needs of the children in their home, the children were not bouncing from home to home. And that's what really opened the door for us to start the conversation with Louisiana's Department of Children and Family Services, where we said, hey, this is a difference maker. And we want to start a conversation about what it means to bring TBRI to the child welfare system on a larger scale.
I love that. And I'm so thankful that you said that, because people often ask, like, how do I get the state, the juvenile justice department, the school system, whoever it is, on board? And I always think one of the answers is to speak to the language, speak to the issues that they care about. And placement stability, I think, would be, I mean, you know, safety, placement stability, you know, I mean, I think it ranks way up there. And so when we can start to see those kinds of outcomes, we can get the attention of the state, right? Like, I think if you had gone in any earlier and been like, well, we've just got this great training program, they would have been like, well, so do we, right? Like, at least in their minds. And so what did the relationship development look like from there? Because you were just in New Orleans at this point, right?
Right. So our work started in New Orleans. And the thing about Louisiana and the child welfare system is it's a statewide system. So there are local offices, but everything's, as far as like programs and policy, is connected. And so as we begin to experience these wins with foster families and see that placement stability, and we started to have opportunity to have conversations at the state office level of the work, they're really asking the question. When they ask a question, it is for the entire state, right? And so, because that's the way their system operates, which is both, I think, an opportunity, but also a challenge, because there's the challenge of scale. And for those of us who do the TBRI work, we know relationship doesn't scale, right? Like, we have to do the one-on-one relational work. And when you're training and helping people implement TBRI, like, we have to do that with them face-to-face and in the context of relationship. And so that became a question of, like, how do we build capacity? Because even though as that conversation started, we'd gotten a few more practitioners in the state, like, we really started from, you know, almost nothing.
Yeah.
So we had to play the long game, realizing, like, we've got to get more TBRI expertise in this state.
Golly, you just said, and I don't even, you know, sometimes we say things that become quotable and we don't know it, but when you said relationships don't scale, I think about, like, you know, we have this mission of global impact, and but you got to have relationships in literally every nook and cranny to carry TBRI into places. Wow. Okay. Sorry. That, like, it kind of hit me in a different way. And so as you're working with the state, all of a sudden, if I remember correctly, collaboratively, y'all put some TBRI into their pre-service training. Is that correct?
Yeah, so one of the opportunities that came about because of the relationship that we had with the state, and also because we had evidence of, hey, this is changing the way foster families are able to care for kids, and we're seeing that placement stability. So those two things combined opened a door for us to have a conversation when the state went to revamp their foster parent pre-service training. There was an opportunity for us to partner with the KPICD and the state to get some TBRI information into that foster parent pre-service training so that they started to get information about TBRI before they even became certified foster parents, which was a really big win, because anyone who is a foster parent, I would say a parent in general, knows that when you're in the deep end with kids mm-hmm. and you got a lot going on and you've got a challenge or an issue or a problem of any kind, and somebody's like, hey, read this book, it'll help. You're like, when am I going to read right. a book?
Exactly.
so, having that brief introduction, and to be clear, it's not the full gamut of TBRI training. Right. It is a brief introduction to TBRI that we hope starts to help potential foster parents shift their mindset and the way they think about behavior and mm-hmm. the way they think about serving the kids in their home. That was just a huge opportunity for us to get that information and spread it pretty wide.
Yeah. And I want to make sure to highlight that one of the things you said was with partnership with us. So many people want to go out and do collaboratives and they want to build these big things, which is great. And we want that to happen. Like, make no mistake, but we want to be in partnership with you and working alside you for both support and coaching, because we've learned a lot from people like you and figuring out kind of which way to go. So you went from that. And I remember, I literally remember the vibe. I happened to be in the office when those modules went into DCFS, right?
DCFS.
Sorry yeah. about that. And just everybody was so excited because it felt like just such a big, big win. And really, like you said, it's like dipping your toe into TBRI, but it's a win to be that relational with the state and have that much trust to insert TBRI into their training. So now you started off, you're going to serve foster families, foster parents being trained through the state. If I have it correct, you have courts on board, obviously CPS, some law enforcement, residential, counselors, community members. Was that the original plan?
You know, yes and no. I think to call it a plan would be a stretch. yeah. To call it a hoped for future would be like, yeah, that's what we were going for from day one.
Yeah.
But it would not be the truth to say, and we had a plan from day one on how we were going to do that and how right. we were going to get there. But I can remember early on kind of thinking about, because honestly, it was a conversation with Dr. Purvis on the way to dinner. She came here, she and Dr. Cross came and did a workshop that helped us kick off our work early on, I think in 2015. Mm-hmm. And on the way to dinner that night after the workshop, you know, she really pushed me on this idea of, but what about, yes, Anna, the families that serve kids, but remember all these kids are part of bigger systems. And mm-hmm. what are those systems and who are the players? That's an important thing for you guys to be thinking about. And it was already the direction that we're kind of looking, because our conversations with the KPICD started around the idea of a collaborative.
Right.
But that she really emphasized that if we're going to really do long-term work, we have to engage these other systems. And so we had mm-hmm. thought through, what are the different sectors that are involved if you're a vulnerable child? So not even just a child in foster care, although that's really how we thought about it at the time. What are the different sectors that are involved? And so education, juvenile justice and courts, nonprofits and faith-based communities, you've got caregivers, whether that's foster parents or bio parents or relative caregivers. And so I can remember kind of putting that list of the different sectors and stakeholders in front of a community partner one time. They looked at the list and then they looked at me and they said, "So like everybody." And I was like, "Yeah, so everybody."
Turns out.
Yeah, turns out everybody. And that being said, like, did I have a plan for how we were going to do it? Nope. We just knew there was a need. And so we started just taking one step after the next.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny because I remember before I worked for the Institute was involved in Travis County, Texas, doing the Travis County Collaborative. And it was like turned very quickly into a really big learning ground for us. But I remember sitting in this room with, you know, Karen and David, and they had, you've seen the graphic where it's like the child in the middle and all the people that impact the life of the child, which is basically all the words you just said, you know, around the child, and how the true way, I mean, really the true way is if we want to impact these kids and these families and these systems, we all have to speak the same language. We can't be in conflict. We can't be in competition. And I think that's one of the unique things about, you know, I keep thinking about our partners that are out in communities where they don't have, it's kind of tricky to say, but like you don't have foster homes connected to your organization, right? Like, so you don't have that kind of relationship with the state, nor are you in competition with other people who do that same work, because the truth is there's dollars attached to that and everybody's trying to keep their doors open. Everybody's trying to do good work. But I think it sets you up in a unique position to speak in where dollars aren't coming your way. Would you agree?
For sure. So one of the benefits of the way we are set up, which we are not a licensed child placing agency. So essentially we recruit foster families, but we then hand them to DCFS and say, This is a family that's interested. We've done some pre-work with them, some conversation, some education, some expectation setting, and you know, and then they walk through the DCFS certification process and they are certified as a DCFS home. And then our commitment to that family that we recruited is on the back end, we're going to offer you an extra level of support beyond what DCFS is able to provide. And so because of that, we're kind of an augment to the system. So we're kind of nestled up to it, but we sit outside of that system. So we don't get funding for recruiting families. We don't get funding for placing kids. So it does really free us up to, one, work and think outside the box, but also to push where we need to push, because there's no risk of losing
money
or like that. So I realize it's a situation that not many organizations are in, but for those of us who are able to operate in that space, I think there's a pretty big responsibility that comes with that to be a good partner. And to come alongside state agencies, but also to push where we need to push.
Okay, so because you're in that position, do you think that it also creates an open door to the other organizations to sort of hear you, to not feel threatened by the work you're doing? I mean, when you say you augment the system, you're literally coming along and saying, like, let me help you. I have something that can help.
Yeah, so one of the things we say is that our hope is to elevate services and systems that are serving Louisiana's most vulnerable kids. So we're not coming in to any situation, whether it's a juvenile detention center or a residential facility or a court or a classroom, whatever those situations are, we're not coming in trying to take something from them. So because we don't provide those direct type services, that's very non-threatening, right?
Yeah.
So we're coming in initially saying, hey, you're doing really good, important work. And man, we have been given this tool that has helped us so much, and we would love to share this tool with you. Mm. And the other thing we're really intentional about leading with is saying, hey, we work in all these different sectors and we are experts in none of them. What we know really well is this model, this framework called TBRI. your job as the expert in your setting, in your context, is to flesh out and walk out what do these principles look like in your setting. Because TBRI is going to look one way in a foster home with a four-year-old. It's going to look a different way in a juvenile detention center with a 14-year-old. And it's mm-hmm. going to look different in a classroom where you have 28 fourth graders. But yeah. the principles apply in every setting. They mm-hmm. apply. They're applicable. But we're not going to come into any of those settings and say, you should be doing X, Y, Z. We're going to come in and we're going to say, these are the connecting principles. These are the empowering principles. These are the correcting principles. Let's talk about what that can look like. What and what can't that look like? Okay, right. So you're not going to be giving a bear hug to a kid in a juvenile detention center. Cool, we get that. So what does healthy touch look like?
Yeah, yep. Oh, it's like you're just out there removing barriers. And I love that so much. It's really cool to see what we can do when we just get into relationship with other people and come alongside and support and really allow everyone to elevate their own practice just by saying, we have something that you just don't know about yet, right? Like it's not a thing, like you just don't know about it yet. Here we are to help. Yeah.
Right. And I think realizing too that they hold so much information about the work that they do that we don't have. And so it's mm-hmm. the bringing together of here's the TBRI information, the core principles, and let's take all that you know from your yeah. experience and let's bring those together. And together we co-create this new way of operating together. And we're able to take those lessons that we learn and also turn around and share those with other partners that we work with.
That's so good. And you have no burden to be the expert in XYZ setting, right? Exactly. Like you remain yeah. the expert in TBRI and say, oh, that's a problem in your setting. Let's figure it out. Let's chat about it and see what works within your setting and your policies and all of those things. It really is brilliant. It really is. So how are y'all funded?
So we have three primary ways that we are funded. So about a third of our funding comes from grants. Okay. About a third of our funding comes from contracts that we have or fee-for-service mm-hmm. things that we do. And about a third comes from individual and corporate donors. So okay. we kind of have yep. to take all those funding streams and make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. The funding piece, the reason I ask the funding piece is I think people start to tiptoe into these waters and they're like, how are we going to pay for it? Right. And like most people end up saying private donors, grants, and then a little bit of revenue stream based on programming. And it literally is how you see it happen time and time again, but it's really just hustling and getting a lot of grants and spreading the word to the pockets that are deeper than the child welfare system, really. Yeah.
And I would say too, for us, we started with grant funding that allowed us to kind of put down some roots and help TBRI become something that when we reached out to other funders or the state, when contracts became available, they knew what it was. So it's mm-hmm. been a journey. So like we didn't start our TBRI journey going like, we have a third, a third, a third. That's
right.
Like, you know, it's been, you know, it was, I would say at first it was like 90%. We got a big grant to do some yep. TBRI work. And then we were able to leverage that into other things moving mm-hmm. forward.
It makes so much sense. I mean, in those early days, I think for a lot of new nonprofits, it's like we got this $10,000 and it's going to take us for the next 3 months, right? Or like, you know, we're going to get another 10 or, you know, and then you try to grow it into something more. But it's kind of like you said, like you just start somewhere. And sometimes the funding it's a little bit scary. I think maybe it's always scary when you're funded by grants and private donors. But I do think we've learned that people do want to help in some way. And sometimes that's with dollars. What are TBRI Fridays?
TBRI Fridays, that was, we started that several years ago. And that was our effort to make TBRI training consistently available in every region of the state. And so our listeners will find this funny, which is probably not quite the real word, but we launched in our final region in March of 2020. So that was good times having, so we had 9 simultaneous in-person trainings happening on the third Friday. I think it was the third Friday of every month. So monthly training. Nine in-person trainings spread across the state, all happening on the third Friday of every month.
So you had to have 9 different practitioners to do that.
Yes.
So did this start, we didn't say this, but there was a point in, I think, 2018 where we came down to Louisiana and we did a practitioner training there. Mm-hmm. So did this start after that? Or had you developed
that beforehand? That's a great question, Sarah. Probably. So yeah. We didn't launch all 9 regions at the same time.
Okay.
So we started in Orleans and then we added regions.
Right.
So it took us more than a year to get to all 9 regions of the state. And we hit that all 9 regions of the state in March of 2020. Jeez. And then we had no regions of the state. So that was, you know, a turn that we were not hoping for. But that's why we coined it TBRI Fridays, is because it always happened on a Friday and it always happened all across the state. And so that's how a big part of getting the training out was for us to make it consistently available. Because the other thing that we had, the need behind that was we had organizations who were wanting to get serious about TBRI, but then they would have turnover. So they would say, hey, we just had our people attend a training and now they left, they moved, right. They went to an organization and we're like back at square one. And so we thought, man, if we can make training consistently available, then people can work that, organizations can work that into their onboarding process, right? So if you join with us, if we hire you, then you're going to go through our typical new hiree training. And mm-hmm. That means for the first 4 months you're with us, once a month, you're going to attend TBRI Fridays until, and so in 4 months, you've got all, you're caught up with us.
Mm-hmm.
4 months isn't super, super quick. So it's not like getting it all in a week, but it was what we could do and it met a need.
Yeah.
So we had to pivot, obviously, and have moved, you know, during COVID, we moved that online as a way mm-hmm. to make that available, continuously available around the state. Since COVID, we've reduced the amount of online training we offer because we know that it's much better in person. Mm-hmm. And so we've started a new effort to work with local organizations to host a 2-day workshop followed by the deep dives, followed by coaching and support sessions for people who go through that whole pathway. So our strategy has shifted since then, but TBRI Fridays was kind of the genesis. And so now we have to be careful when you name things, because now we have to be like TBRI Fridays. It's not just Fridays anymore. You know, creative with our marketing. And eventually I'm sure we'll drop Fridays from it. But we've now transitioned to having that online available as a way for people to get introduced to TBRI. But the deep work that we're doing is now partnering with organizations in various regions to do that training series of a workshop followed by the deep dives, followed by some coaching sessions.
Okay. Man, I feel tired just listening to you. And again, Anna, this has all been with very close connection and relationship with the Institute, with a whole lot of permissions over the years. I mean, probably more than we can count for sure. And so we're so grateful for that. And I love to hear that, like, we've learned we need this now. We learned, you know, like every time we think we've arrived, we kind of pivot and go, we need that. So if you are listening to this and you're interested in any of these things, we will have show notes. But most importantly, if you're interested in trying to do some of the things you've heard about, then we want you to be in connection with us. No need to harass Anna. She's got an inbox that can't be kept up with, I imagine. But we would love to chat with you more about what's happening in your community.
Yeah,
okay.
And I would say, can I add to that real
quickly?
Yeah,
please.
I'm sorry. I think the thing I would say to that is, you know, we did not set out with this grand plan initially of, you know, the whole state. That has been what has come to us as we've done the work at home, so to speak. And not saying that our work at home was done. It wasn't.
Right.
It isn't. But those doors have opened, and because we have been in relationship with the KPICD, and we've walked that partnership really closely. That's the thing that it's not even just about the permissions. It's about the equipping that that has come through that relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So, I would say that without that relationship with the KPICD, we would have made a lot more mistakes. We would have not known what we didn't know. And so that's been a relationship that's not just been about getting permission, but about getting coached and getting some other people who are doing deep work in other communities to speak into, to advise, to bounce ideas off of. And so, honestly, it's not something I would undertake or even consider undertaking unless it was just a have to, must to, and have a lot of support to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you need to, I mean, I think about some of our other collaboratives, and a lot of them started off with like this big statewide vision. And then they said, whoa, maybe our county, they're for you parish, right? Like, and they said, we'll figure it out here. This is physically where we are. We have a better chance of having good relationships here because we can actually be in person at the coffee shop, right? Having breakfast or whatever, lunch meetings and doing all that relationship development. And then as we grow that, what happens is that the other communities are like, what's going on over there? Like, why aren't their placements breaking down? What's the difference? What's happening? And then, you know, you get your experience, you kind of start to figure out, like we said, some of the funding, and then it feels more possible to grow. You may have just answered this, but, you know, for somebody that is like doing that beginning work, beginning to talk to people, is there anything going back that you would absolutely do the same early days?
Yes, I would say I took every yes that I got as a big old yes, and I took every non-answer of people not being sure as a yes.
And not what I thought you were gonna say.
I took no's as a okay, maybe later.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would just say I think the thing that has helped propel the work forward are the partners that we've connected with. And so the decision we made early on, there were two things. One is, okay, we're going to work with the willing, or, you know, as Amanda says to me a lot, like, just follow your favor. So, you know,
I love it.
Not spending a whole lot of time beating down doors of people who aren't interested. Like, there are people who, when they hear about TBRI, they go, oh man, this is what we need. This is, invest in those people. And then the other thing that I would say is we made the decision early on too, because it gets scary, right? Like, you have this TBRI baby and you want to take care of it and you want to like protect it. But we knew that if TBRI were really going to get to all the people and places that needed it, we were going to have to relinquish some level of control. And so what we wanted to do was to give and to guide the TBRI work and not try to sell and control. And it's kind of like parenting a teenager a little bit. Like, you can, you know, with teens, like, if you draw a really hard line, they're going to like really, they really want to cross it, bust through the wall that you've set up, that kind of thing. But if you can coach them, if you can stay in a good relationship with them, then you can have influence even during that hairy time of life. And so I kind of think about being a TBRI partner in somewhat of a similar way. You've got people and they've got hopes and dreams and they've got things that they want to do. And sometimes those ideas, you know, like, oh, it's not going to work, or, oh, you shouldn't start there. But being in a relationship where you can say, hey, let me give you some support in this area. Let me offer a little bit of guidance, and using that relational influence as opposed to, you know, boxing people in or giving no's or whatever, is like, how do we give yeses to our partners, has been, I think, a really important hallmark of our work. And I don't mean to say that we've done that perfectly in all situations. Like, we haven't. There's been some pitfalls, there's been some mistakes, there's been some tricky situations with some partners, but for the most part, it is our partners who are out there doing the work day in and day out that have made what's happening in Louisiana what it is.
Man, I don't even want to ask you anything else. That was so dang good. And I think, like, being able to do that almost for me would fall into my personal work of being able to let go of all of the control and let go of the freaking out and just kind of watching things go down with enough scaffolding and enough support to feel like I've kind of given you what you need to you know, make this thing go. And it's okay if you choose differently. Maybe we'll all learn that works. My gut says we won't, but right, like, that just feels like it would be a huge growth opportunity for me as an individual to be able to do that. So just amazing kudos, Anna. It is so fun to hear about your journey, to experience it and witness it over the years. And we just really want to thank you for sharing with us and being on the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Sarah. And shout out to all my Louisiana people who are out there listening and doing the good work. We couldn't do it without you guys.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.